Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, if you find it, shall praise the Lord. The Word of God says, "Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up," everybody say build up "the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." And tonight, we're continuing in this part two, this leadership series called The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. And we're going to be talking tonight about leading through chaos, leading through chaos. Has anybody experienced chaos, say, in the past week? Anybody's experienced some chaos? So we're going to be talking about how I can lead through chaos. And we're going to use Nehemiah as an example, all right? So let's pray. Let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. Let this teaching tonight go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of God's Word. So who remembers last Wednesday night the difference between ordinary and extraordinary? Someone shout that out. Anybody remember what it was? The extra. That's right. Someone had said that. I guess I didn't hear you. It is the extra. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra. So we're going to continue to define leadership. Leadership is defined as an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. And that should be on your screen. Leadership is an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. So this is how we define extraordinary. Here it is. Extraordinary is defined as going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. It is exceptional to a very marked extent. It is rare. It is uncommon. It is unique. And so while you're writing those down and filling out your papers, I'll give you a few seconds to do that. But I want to talk to you about an important, crucial fact that we cannot overlook when we're studying God's Word, when we're reading God's Word, is this fact that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that has been, I think that's been kind of the rule. The Apostle Paul points that out. We see the work of Jesus. We see that being used throughout the Bible, be explained throughout the Bible. The challenge of leadership is to be strong, but not rude, to be kind, but not weak, to be bold, but not bully, be thoughtful, but not lazy, be humble, but not timid, be proud, but not arrogant, have humor, but without folly. And so there's a lot of balance that we have to understand and kind of dig through if we want to be an extraordinary leader. Leadership, your next part on this, it's going to be on your screen. Leadership is all about people. And how many can believe and agree tonight that people are complex? Anybody, can I get an amen from that, from anybody? People are complex. Leadership is a very complex issue. And I think we all are understanding that. Leadership is not an assembly line of widgets that you control. That is not leadership. That's more of a dictatorship, right? Leadership is not well-conceived plans that never fail, because as a leader, there are going to be times in your life and times when you lead, whether it's your family, where you're on your job, whether it's in a ministry, wherever it is, a business, there are going to be some plans that will fail. But leadership is not clearly defined outcome. And so it's not a clearly defined outcome. And I think sometimes we think it is, but it's not. It's not necessarily always clear sometimes. Sometimes we got to pick up pieces and go a different direction. And so there's so many variables in mind there. Leadership is messy. How many believe that to be true? Why is it messy? Because we are working with messy people. We too are a mess, and we'll be talking about that in the next few series, messages. But leadership is messy, it's murky, it's complicated, it's rarely stable. Have you ever found yourself frustrated with all the decisions you have to make as an extraordinary leader? I have many times. I found myself frustrated. And so what I have to do is just, as a believer, is put it in the hands of the Lord. There's a little about life that is easy to navigate. We face tough decisions, and it should be on your screen. And I know this is going to be a little difficult for Pastor Crystal to follow tonight, but there's a little about life that is easy to navigate. We face tough decisions every day. And as an extraordinary leader, you're not only facing your own personal decisions, but you are navigating the decision-making process for an entire team. That's quite a bit to write down there, but this is so important for us because we're talking about moving from ordinary to extraordinary, and we're realizing that the way I'm leading now is I'm leading from my heart. I'm not leading from a book. I'm not leading from a, you know, John Maxwell leadership conference. I'm leading from my heart. I'm leading from my soul. I'm leading from my mind. I'm leading from my strength. Just as the scripture last Wednesday night we talked about, that's how we're to love God, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with our strength. And so I'm learning to navigate, to lead this way. And so it's important that we understand that. Extraordinary leaders live in a constant state of tension. There's always tension. There's always the propensity for chaos and struggle, right? And so I think this is important. The constant tug and the pull of tensions stretches you to either expand and grow or snap and break under distress. Has anybody ever felt like you're going to just snap and break? I think we all have had a season or a moment in our life where we felt like we were going to snap. You know, I love what Sister Joyce Myers says, and I say it all the time, but you never know what type of fruit you have until you're squeezed, right? Until there's pressure. You never realize what kind of fruit. Is it the good fruit of joy, the peace, the love, the temperance? Is it that gentleness? Is it the meekness? Is it the patience, the long-suffering? Is it those things? And then when pressure and stress happens in our life, then you find out that maybe you're not near as fruity as you should be. Amen? And so there's a expression, and I know probably Marky has heard it, maybe some of the people I'm sure Jeremy's heard it, maybe some of you that's been in athletics, my wife, myself, but you've always heard of this, bend, not break. Has anybody heard that before, that expression, bend, not break? And, you know, in football, that was kind of the expression our coach would say if we wanted to step up the defense or if our offensive line needed to step up. We bend. We're going to have a lot of force. We're going to have to be ready for that, but we're not going to break under pressure. And so I've heard someone say that blessed are the flexible, for they shall bend and not break. And I think that's great. We've got to learn to be flexible. That's a great key component in leadership. That's one of the things that our missionary will always say before we go on to a missions trip or whatever we're doing. He would say, we've got to learn to be flexible because people are complex and there are changes. There's so many changes involved, and so we have to be ready regardless. So the very purpose, everybody say purpose, of leadership is, here we go, is to successfully navigate through chaos. How many want to be able to be successful navigating through the chaotic times? Guess what? Chaotic times are upon us. We're entering into not only the holiday season, you know, and there's going to be a lot of shopping, there's going to be a lot of friction with travel. There's going to be a lot of, what am I going to do with money? You know, stress with finances. Am I going to be able to afford a good Christmas for my family? There's going to be a lot of chaos, and not to mention the things that are going on in our nation as we speak. But we have to learn to be successful through this. And that's the purpose of this tonight, is being able to lead through chaos. So it just brings me to my life point. It's very simple expression. And here it is. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Anybody in here ever felt like you just wanted to run away? I remember Brother Vernon. I was talking to one of the wives of the board member. This was, man, golly, what is this, 2025? So this has had to been back in 2004. I was pastoring our first church, and I never forget. I was talking with this sister. She's a great, great woman of God. And I was just telling her, I said, have you ever just sat down in front of the television and watched the Weather Channel? Has anybody ever done that? And I'm not talking about just to see if the weather is going to affect your area, but just to see how the weather is in other places. Anybody ever done that before? I've done that. I want to see, I wonder what San Diego is. I saw that today. I was checking the weather for this weekend, and I saw San Diego. It was going to be cloudy and rainy, and that rarely ever happens. And so I was thinking, oh, man, you know, and I think sometimes we have that in our mind. When there's chaotic times, we just want to run away. We want to get away. But we got to learn some important things. And if we run away, now this is something I want you to grasp tonight. If we run away in the face of adversity, if we run and hide in the face of chaos, when things aren't going so well, what happens? This is what happens. If you as a leader move out and say, I'm done, and you throw up the towel, you create what is called a leadership vacuum. A leadership vacuum is a very dangerous thing. And there's so many leadership vacuums, not only in the body of Christ, but all over there's leadership vacuums. So what we have to do is we have to make these leadership vacuums, these chaotic times, we have to make it our friend. And so when a leadership vacuum appears, there's stress. Chaos threatens to erupt. It would seem that only a unique person or someone whose chemistry mixes ambition, charisma, and ego can fill the vacuum. But when teaching an approach that's called the soul of leadership, I think the opposite assumption, that leaders appear when awareness meets need. That's what I think God is speaking to the body of Christ. Another expression that you hear a lot of times, especially in football, is they say, well, when someone's injured, perhaps they have a torn ACL, or someone's injured with something else, a concussion. I've always heard the coaches say, next man up. Have you ever heard that expression before? Next man up. The person that is on the second team or the third team, that's the next man up. And that, I think that's what God is trying to convey to the body of Christ, is next man up. Next man up. We saw this happen tonight. There was a leadership vacuum at the computer, and we needed next man or next woman, right, up. And Haley stepped up, and she's trained, and she's ready to fulfill that position until Pastor Carl could make it. And I think this is very important for us. A person who knows what a group actually needs, the group, whether it's a family, a business, or a team, it must be aware than those in need. They must be sensitive. I think that's a good word. Be sensitive. Have some self-awareness about the team. It's like if somebody's not greeting in the foyer, well, next man up. Someone take it upon themselves to stand in the foyer and greet people as they come in, you know? And we can go on, and there's so many dynamics that we could speak of. Once the need is identified, the leader must take steps to fill the role that it demands. And that's where training, that's where finding somebody says, hey, here I am, send me, and I want to be used. I found some quotes that were really important about problem solving. And anybody needs some help with problem solving? I do, right? I want people to come to me with a solution. I had about a year ago someone come to me and say, oh, we've got a problem. I'm like, don't bring me the problems, right? Bring me the solution. I want to see people that think outside the box. People that are innovative. People that say, hey, I can do something with this. We've got this situation. Here it is. Here's the problem, but this is the solution. I like that kind of person. That's moving from ordinary to extraordinary, right? So I heard Paul Harvey say this one time. He said, in times like these, it is good to remember that there has always been times like these. Amen? That's so good. Here's another one. The measure of success is not whether you have a tough problem to deal with, but whether it is the same problem you had last year. Wow. One thing for sure, we have to do something. We have to do the best we know how at the moment. If it doesn't turn out right, we can modify it as we go along. You know who said that? That was the president, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Some good advice. Here's another one. Never try to solve all the problems at once. Make them line up for you one by one. I love that. That is really important. Here's another one, and you want to write this one. You don't want to write this one down. You don't drown by falling in the water. You drown by staying there. And it's on your screen. You don't drown by falling in the water. You drown by staying there. Boy, that is so good. So when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And so extraordinary leaders are aware of leadership vacuums. You know the propensity exists. Remember, knowing is half the battle. It's what we preached on last Sunday. God's people were destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. We talked about that in that message, the doorkeeper. It was extraordinary. But knowing is half the battle. Remember, our objective is to be effective. And we've said that for so many times. And so God's word is our mighty strength. God's word is our strength for the weaknesses that we perhaps have. And so some of the things we must consider as an extraordinary leader is how chaos affects each of us in these four dimensions of leadership. How chaos truly affects us. And so that's on your screen. Some of the things we must consider as an extraordinary leader is how chaos affects each one of us, of our four dimensions of leadership. So one of the tensions that leaders face in chaos involves their willingness to engage their own emotions and those of others. So what is that going to be? That is going to be our heart. A willingness to engage their own emotions and those of others. That is the heart. Our leadership character is a true reflection of who we really are. That is our soul. Right? If we truly want to be an extraordinary leader, we've got to be real with people. There can't be fake it till you make it. We've got to be real before people. And that obviously is the character. Our character is a true reflection of who we really are. Another tension that leaders face is confusion. Anybody ever had confusion before? All of us have. Confusion always hinders momentum. It always does. And that's our mind. And I'm going to leave those up there just for a few moments because I know some of you are still writing. I think this is important for us. We can't not. Who's the author of confusion? Well, it's not God. Satan is. The devil wants to bring confusion in our lives. And so I think this is so important. I had a friend text me a couple of weeks ago, and he lives in New Jersey. And I was saying, I need special prayer for my mind. And I sent him this scripture where I think it's Isaiah 26:3, where God says, to whom his mind is stayed on the Lord, he brings us perfect peace. There's perfect peace. That word stayed in Hebrew is an important word because it actually means to be staked. That word stayed means to be driven down with a hammer, with a stake, driven down so hard, almost like concrete. And I believe that is the answer to a lot of our defense against confusion, because like Paley said, the devil wants to confuse us. John Maxwell said, as a leader, your responsibility is to understand momentum, to get it moving for your organization and to sustain it over time, to understand momentum. So lastly, people want someone who will be strong. Everybody say strong. And that obviously is strength. People want someone who can convey hope and possibility in the midst of chaos. You know, I love my wife. That's probably one of her great attributes about her life is she a person of hope. She believes. She believes in me. She believes in her children. She believes in her family. If you look at her and we're going through something, and she feels like she's hopeless, then we're in trouble, right? But she has that kind of strength to believe there's hope, there's possibility in the midst of chaos. And when we as extraordinary leaders face a chaotic time or chaos, we must consider our responsibility to display those four things we just wrote down. To display heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the premise of this whole teaching. We're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we're facing chaos, we are loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's our responsibility even to display that to our children, that I'm trusting God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And before we can lead others well, we have to settle these needs for ourselves. How many believes that to be true? And that should be on your screen. Before we can lead others well, we have to settle these needs for ourselves. So let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah's extraordinary leadership as he faces chaos. Go to Nehemiah 2 and verse 17. And if you miss a little bit, I can give you the notes and you can fill those in. It says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we," notice what he says, "that we are in." He doesn't say that you are in, but he's saying that we are in. "How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." It wasn't even a few days after we were voted in, as we were accepted as the pastors here. Brother Pastor Raymond Goffin came up to me, who's a dear friend of ours. We ministered together for so many years. We just love this family. I'll never forget what he was talking to me about when I first came on board. And he kind of took me to the side and he started explaining to me about Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall. And I thought that was so good. I needed to hear what he had to say. So what was it then that got the ball rolling for Nehemiah? What was it that really lit? I mean, I want to dive into him and to see what Nehemiah was doing. So Nehemiah, this is what he did. Nehemiah identified the problem that Jerusalem lied in waste. And I think this is what we have to do. We have to identify the problem, but then we're going to come with solutions, right? So here's four actions Nehemiah did. Nehemiah sought out support, and that's your heart. He sought out support. Nehemiah realized that he could not go it alone, nor would he try it alone. He sought out support. Nehemiah recruited help from the top to the bottom, help from the officials, help from the priests, and help from the citizens of Jerusalem. He recruited help. We said last Wednesday night, he delegated. Delegation is so important. Number two, Nehemiah prayed for direction. And that's our soul. Nehemiah displayed leadership by reaching out to God's direction. And sometimes that should be our number one thing that we do, right? We should be praying and asking God for his direction. I just don't want a good thing, like we said Sunday morning. I want a God thing. I just don't want a good thing. I want a God thing. I like what Haley's Bible Handbook. If you don't have a Haley's Bible Handbook, Brother Dale, you should get one. It's so good. But I like what it said here. He wrote this. He said that Nehemiah spent 4 months. Get this. He spent 4 months in prayer before he made his request to the king. That's amazing. Before he even approaches the king with all of the problems, here he is. He's praying. He is a praying man. He's seeking the Lord. His prayers were not a superficial, sugar-coated prayer. It wasn't something that was very light. No, he's grabbing the horns of the altar, and he is praying. He's seeking the Lord while he may be found. He's calling on him while he is near. Look what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It's on your screen. And it said, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." Extraordinary, you're seeing this. Extraordinary leadership is going to mean a lot to our soul. If your soul is not in it, if your heart is not in it, if your mind is not in it, if your strength is not in it, then we have to reevaluate Are we really making this transition from ordinary to extraordinary? Number three, Nehemiah, it's on your screen. Nehemiah developed a plan. Everybody say a plan. Well, that's our mind. That's the mindset. We have a plan. Nehemiah provided clear direction and regular guidance. That's something that I do every time we meet together collectively. I talk about, here's our plan. We want to fill these things up, and we want to present them to the haven. That's the plan, okay? It's clear. Give you clear direction and regular guidance. When opposition arose, Nehemiah installed security night and day. I think this is great. And when fatigue settled in, what did he do? Nehemiah created work rotations. That is so good. We can learn a lot from this. Nehemiah paid attention to the details. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God is in the details. God is in the details. Number four, the last one. Nehemiah saw the possibilities. If you don't get anything tonight, I want you to get this one. I see the possibilities of you in this room. I see the possibilities of this church. I always have. That's why we're still here. Other pastors have moved on. They quit early. Some of them probably shouldn't even been here. I don't know. But I'm talking about not recently. So don't be calling somebody. I'm talking about years ago. This church is almost 100 years old. So here we go. Nehemiah saw the possibilities. That's our strength. Nehemiah developed a personal passion for God's people and God's place. Wow. Nehemiah stayed the course and displayed unwavering commitment to the vision of God that God gave him. That's why we continue to do what we're doing on Wednesday night. Most pastors would just say, let's just throw in the towel, let's just quit. No, these children, I mean, I want to have the best. Watching them like they did last Wednesday night and even tonight, I want to see them worshiping the Lord and learning about God. And I think this is important. And when we fail to give our best, then we need to reevaluate, like we said earlier, we need to reevaluate ourselves. Complexity is where our best leadership happens. It's on your screen. Complexity is where our best leadership happens. So it's complex times. It is complexity. Embracing the tensions of leadership means being willing to go first. Willingness to go first. Embracing the tensions of leadership means facing your fears. Embracing the tensions of leadership means inspire hope. We're talking about leading through chaos. Leading through chaos. So we're willing to go first. We're facing our fears. We're inspiring hope. And then on the next screen, extraordinary leadership takes courage. Everybody say courage. It takes courage. It takes intuition. It takes discernment. And obviously it takes prayer. And Nehemiah's selfless leadership exemplifies extraordinary leadership. Man, courage, intuition, discernment, and prayer. Those are also important attributes. So how do you face chaos? How are you facing chaos? I ask you at the beginning of this teaching tonight, I ask you to raise your hand if you faced chaos, say, in the last week or two. How are you facing chaos? Do you run and hide? That's a great temptation. Or do you get emotional? Do you pray? Do you seek the Lord? Are you pretending? You just like, you know, we put on these masks and we just pretend. But I really believe that this is important for us in these chaotic times, is learn how I'm going to deal with this chaos. How am I going to lead with my soul, my mind, my heart, my strength? I'm going to lead the way that God wants me to lead. So when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I apply this to my life? How can I make this teaching tonight, leading through chaos, how can I make it count for life? I'll never forget this. I thought I'd share this story with you. And I know I'm just a little bit over, but it won't take very long. I think I was 19, and I just surrendered the call to preach. And God was just blessing me. And I'm just a young man, and I had nothing, really. I didn't have a stable job. I was hauling hay throughout the summer and didn't really have any kind of direction, but I knew one thing. I knew I wanted to be used of the Lord, and I knew God was calling me to preach. And thank God, there was a little church I was attending, a little four square church I was attending. They let me preach, you know, at times, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And we had a tent revival, and it was a great move of God. A lot of people got saved. We saw great things, people delivered. And one of the workers, he was a preacher, and he helped set up the tent. He helped work the tent. He came to me one night, and I'm on fire, man. I'm so excited what God's doing. And he came up to me and wanted to kind of corner me and talk to me. And he said, "Brother JC," he says, "I know you're fired up about the Lord." And he said, "Get ready. The fire is coming." When he said that, Brother Vernon, I'll be honest with you. I said, "Praise God, I love the fire of God." And I was so excited. I was like, "Yes, yes, the fire of God's coming." He said, no, that's not what I mean. He said, "I mean the fire is coming. The tests are coming." And I didn't know exactly at the time what all that meant. I found out, you know, through a school of hard knocks, like we all do. Now, I asked Pastor Crystal's mother about that, and she said that. She said, "Jay, the devil is mad because you're serving the Lord, and he won't sit back and not attack you." And that's still true today. It's still true today. So this is what I did at 19 years old. I had to make a decision right there. Man, did I hit chaos? Did I hit the fire, the temptation, or the trials? Did I hit those trials? Boy, it came. It came tough. But I made this decision, and here's my decision. I wrote this down. I said, "Am I going to allow the fires of hell to burn hotter, or am I going to allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to outburn all the fires of trials and chaos? I want the Holy Ghost and fire burning hotter than every trial that I face." Man, that is a great lesson for all of us to learn. How many of you could say, that's what I want? Because when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Ghost to literally burn within us, and that fire, we get ignited with the fire of God, that's our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Stand up. Let's give the Lord a good hand and clap. That's so good. So what if we did something tonight? We're talking about leading through chaos. What if we did this one thing? If I ask you to do this one thing, what if we just tonight, in faith, we stepped out in faith and we said, "God, set us on fire." What if we said that? Anybody willing to say that? "God, set me on fire. Set me on fire for you." This is what I've learned. I know Brother Vernon knows this. Brother Dale knows this. My wife knows this. Some of you may know this. Well, this is what I've learned. When God is stirring a fire within you, you're not going to be able to say no. It's like Jeremiah. He came up with every excuse. He said, "I don't want to be involved. I don't want to prophesy. I don't want to preach." And he said the fire, God's word, was a fire in his framework, was shut up in his bones. And the Bible says that he was so stirred, he had no choice but to be used of God and to preach. And I believe that's what happens. So you can't tell God no. So I'm going to ask God to set me on fire. So let's ask God tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for this word tonight, this teaching. Thank you, Father, teaching us, leading us through chaos. And we realize that we've made the culmination of this tonight. We want to be on fire for you. On fire. That is the true answer tonight. That you are the God that answers by fire. So answer our lives, God. Some of us are going through chaos, and we want the fire of God to burn hotter than the fires of chaos. So let your fire of God burn within us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So let's get going right now. Let's say our area.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.